The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
What if this was the murder trailer near San Diego Comic-Con and you were listening to the Eternal One and Dr. Gabe? Then you'd be listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan and Gabe.
We're recording.
What?
Yes.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 125 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
And are listening to our ongoing San Diego Comic-Con coverage, but this episode specifically, we are going to be
specifically talking
about Marvel Phase 4.
And a half.
Little bit of Phase 5 too. So everybody, like, I know that there are a lot of people that are fans of the Marvel movies.
I hate them.
I know that there are people that are not fans of the Marvel movies and are feeling that superhero burnout. But that doesn't really matter because this is definitely big news. So within Hall H, Marvel made their return to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes.
And in their Hall H panel, they made a ton of announcements about Marvel Phase 4. And we're just going to kind of do a rundown of, like, the movies and TV shows that they are going to be coming out with. So first on the docket would be Black Widow coming out May 1st, 2020.
I don't like Black Widow.
Is that real?
Yes.
Okay,
talk to me. No, I don't. It's not that I don't like her. I just don't know that she's going to be able to carry a full movie for me personally. But I know that there's a lot of people out there that like her, so...
So, my problem with Black Widow is that I'm afraid it's going to suffer from the lady spy movie syndrome that I talked about.
But she is a lady spy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm afraid it's going to suffer from that, where, you know, there's movies like La Femme Nikita and Red Sparrow and stuff like that, and they've tried so many times to make amazing spy movie with sexy lady, and it never seems to find the right, like, tone and movement that made it hotter.
I feel it.
But, I'm afraid Black Widow is going to suffer from that. Like, I'm hoping that Scarlett Johansson, who obviously has been cast as Black Widow, will be able to carry the movie, but I just don't know.
I think having a Marvel tag stuck to it will help immensely. And
right.
I think the movie's going to make money. I think it's probably going to be popular. I don't think that character really is that appealing to me. Like, what's his name? Jeremy Renner. Who did he play? Hawkeye. He was a bore until, like, just recently. And I don't think he would have been able to carry a whole movie by himself. Even though a whole Hawkeye movie. I mean, obviously Jeremy Renner and Scarlett Johansson have done their own shit. I'm just not interested in those characters as much. That's why I wouldn't go watch the movies.
And that makes sense. The movie's also going to be starring David Harbour, Florence Pugh, I think, Pugh. Okay. Rachel Weisz and O.T.
I have no idea how to pronounce that name, by the way.
Fegbenla?
I thought maybe Fegbainley. I have no idea. From The Handmaid's Tale, apparently.
Yeah, I just don't know how to say that last name.
Me neither.
And I have butchered it. Someone please tell me how to say it. Somebody shoot us a video message, like on our Twitter or Instagram, at Outside Long Box, on how to say that correctly. So that we still look like idiots and you look like the smart one. So,
and you said that was in theaters May 1st, 2020.
May 1st, 2020.
And of course, nobody knows what the fuck that movie is about yet. So,
Lady Spy.
Well, but I mean, they don't know if it's a prequel or a sequel kind of thing.
About a lady spy.
It's about a lady spy.
I know, I'm just being a smart ass. So, fall of 2020, we are getting the first of the Disney Plus shows. That Disney Plus show is going to be The Falcon and The Winter Soldier. So it's kind of like the second coming of Captain America, effectively.
Which is weird that they call it Falcon.
Well, so I feel like they just kind of want to differentiate between Falcon and Captain America.
You're looking at the picture, huh?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay. Because in this one article I'm looking at, they broke it down with the movies first.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm trying to go in order, yeah.
I got you.
So it's going to have Anthony Mackie's character Sam Wilson as the Falcon, a.k.a. Captain America, and Sebastian Stan's Bucky Barnes, a.k.a. the Winter Soldier. It'll be one of the debut TV shows on Disney Plus. I assume it's just effectively going to be the adventures of Captain America. You know, with two of the people that try to take on the role of Captain America after he retires.
It says the semi-unlikely pairing of Sebastian Stan's Bucky Barnes and his BFF's other BFF, Sam Wilson, Anthony Mackie, is the focus of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Joining them is Daniel Brühl, who returns as his Captain America, the Winter Soldier villain, Helmut Zemo.
Baron Zemo. Should be pretty cool. You think he'll wear the purple mask?
Yellow.
I thought it was purple.
I have no idea.
I see how you are.
I do like the logo, though. Logo is cool with the Captain America shield behind it.
I'm excited to see this. Like, I think it could be really good, and I think it's a really good choice to start the Disney Plus with, like, characters that are from the movies, like, played by the actors from the movies, you know, creating that Disney television presence. I would hope that might be an entry point for some of the Netflix shows to also start working their way into those movies.
This is my least excited show of what I see in front of me, except for maybe Hawkeye.
Yeah. We'll get to Hawkeye, because I actually am pretty excited about that. November 6th, 2020, they will be releasing The Eternals. So The Eternals is a comic book series about, like, the eternal beings in the universe. It looks to star Salma Hayek, Richard Madden, Kumail Nanjiani, Lauren Ridloff, who will be the first deaf Marvel hero, Brian Tyree Henry, he's got three names, and Leah McHugh, who will be the youngest ever Marvel hero, Don Lee, and the big name that's attached to it, Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
Who I believe is going to be cast in the role that we were hoping, oh my gosh, her name, Jeanette from After Dark and Aliens. Oh, we interviewed her, and she was talking about
Goldstein?
Yes. That we were hoping she was going to be cast in that role as, like, the kind of mother figure. But I'm guessing Angelina Jolie picked up that role, which should be really cool. I like The Eternals. Like, I think it's a really, really cool...
I don't know anything about The Eternals.
So The Eternals is, like, a really interesting little bit of kind of comic book... sorry, one second. Kind of comic book, like, outside. Like, they're part of the Marvel Universe, but they're also, like, a very different thing. It's one of the things that, like, Jack Kirby created, so visually it's very, like, different. Like, it's like, a very, like, intense, you know, chunky-looking thing, and I'm hoping that maybe they carry over some of, like, the costuming and stuff that Kirby created for it. They're these celestial beings that are basically, like, the eternal ideas, like, within the Marvel Universe. And then on top of it, there's, like, another group of, like, evil creatures called the Deviants that I'm hoping will, like, draw, you know, they'll draw off of those storylines. Like, it should be really, really cool. There was a second series that was written by Neil Gaiman. That was actually really, really fascinating, too. It should be an interesting way to expand the Marvel Universe into, like, that kind of universal galactic space, like, where we've gotten the glimpses of the Kree and, like, the Nova Corps and right. Thanos and stuff. These are, like, the root of all of that, like, intergalactic and interdimensional stuff. So it should be really cool. Like, I'm
go through the cast again?
Let's try that one more time. The cast is going to have Salma Hayek, Richard Madden, Kumail Nanjiani, Lauren Ridloff, Brian Tyree Henry, Leah McHugh, Don Lee, and Angelina Jolie. So, should be really cool. Like, I'm very excited to see what they do with it.
I think they just made announcements on all these things. I don't think they said anything about what they would be like.
Like, who are they cast as and stuff like that?
Or what the movies are even about. You know what I mean?
Right. So, next up, February 12th, 2021, we are looking at Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. So, this is probably the thing that I am the most fascinated by. One thing I'm really, really interested in is this is being made into a movie. This is one of, like, the big release movies. This has the potential to be kind of that, like, Ant-Man. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, when Ant-Man came out, people were like, well, who the fuck is Ant-Man? Who gives a shit about that? And then the movie was awesome. Shang-Chi has all the potential to do the exact same thing. Shang-Chi and Iron Fist and, like, Luke Cage, that whole universe is kind of one of my favorite aspects of the Marvel Universe.
Right.
And while I feel like they kind of dropped the ball on Iron Fist quite a bit with Kevin Feige at the helm of, like, you know, this phase of Marvel and the movies and stuff, I think Shang-Chi has a chance to be an amazing fucking movie.
Another thing I don't really know anything about, so...
So, Shang-Chi came from, like, the 70s when there was, like, a big boom in, like, Kung Fu comic books. Because basically Bruce Lee got super, super popular, and Marvel was like, well, how do we capitalize on that? And Shang-Chi and Iron Fist kind of became that, and then Luke Cage with, like, the rise of blaxploitation movies became, like, the black side of that, and they all kind of interacted in their own, like, little Daredevil Hell's Kitchen sort of world.
Right.
And it's really, really good stuff. Like, there's the, you know, the Kung Fu comics from the 70s are a ton of fun, and there's a lot of source material that could make a really, really great movie out of it.
Hmm. I'll be the judge of that.
Well, yeah. I think everybody will be the judge of that.
Wanda and Vision is next?
Yes. So, I assume... Is it called Wanda and Vision, or is it just called WandaVision?
WandaVision.
I think it's just called WandaVision.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Wanda hyphen Vision.
Let's look it up.
Well, I'm looking at the logo.
I know. I'm looking up, like, a specific thing about it. It is one word, WandaVision. I just looked it up. That's how it's listed on IMDb, is, like, Wanda, capital V, Vision. So this looks to be one of the next... It'll be the second in the Disney Plus shows. It's a spinoff, obviously, from the Marvel Cinematic Universe and contains the characters Scarlet Witch, a.k.a. Wanda Maximoff, and The Vision. There is very little about this. There's a 3-minute clip out there. But in general, this is going to be about Wanda and Vision. Like, hopefully they draw from, like, the comic book miniseries Scarlet Witch and Vision. I mean, who knows? Who knows what they do with this?
This
could be really good.
We'll get to see more of the romance between Olsen, Scarlet Witch, and Vision, Paul Bettany, ostensibly before his demise in Avengers Infinity War. Also joining them will be Tayona Paris, as a grown-up Monica Rambeau.
Nice. So it should be really cool. Like, I'm excited to see what they do with this. There's a ton of potential for storyline there.
It's weird because it doesn't seem like this timeline of what's going on as far as the Phase 4 is a timeline.
Right.
Because the Black Widow, it sounds like the footage that they showed was Jason Bourne-esque. And so I'm guessing that's a prequel.
Right.
So that happens before everything happens. And then the Falcon and the Winter Soldier happens after everything happens. And then WandaVision happens before everything happens.
Right.
Like, it's really funky. And we'll get to Loki and I'll see kind of, you know, what we say about where that falls. But it's weird because it's not following a linear path like Phase 1 through 3 have. And so that's kind of interesting.
I mean, when you introduce like the Infinity Gauntlet, characters like the Eternal, and then our next movie, which is going to be coming out May 7th, 2021, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, you've got to concede that they're going to start throwing tons of, like, interdimensional and time travel and multiverses in and things like that, to where those kind of, like, linear necessities of the first, like, three phases aren't necessarily as important as they used to be. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness obviously will have Benedict Cumberbatch reprising the role of Doctor Strange. To say how it'll stand apart from the rest of the Marvel Universe, the quote was from the director Scott Derrickson was, "We're going to make the first scary movie in the MCU." So that should be really interesting to see what they do with that. Doctor Strange, like, is one of my favorite, like, comic book series, and a big part of what made it so fun for me is that it's one of the horror books that I read, like, right, when I was younger. Ghost Rider, Doctor Strange, Spirits of Vengeance, like, that whole kind of group of people, those were horror books. Like, right, they had monsters, they fought evil creatures, they fought demons and stuff like that. So it'll be nice to see them take a movie that goes kind of back to the roots of Doctor Strange. He's Doctor Strange not because he's weird, but because he's freaky. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that I'm really, really excited to see what they do with it.
Like you said, Benedict Cumberbatch will return, and he'll be joined by a surprising guest. Scarlet Witch.
Blue or black number, bitch.
I don't know who that is. But Scarlet Witch is going to be in two things, then.
Which will be cool, because Scarlet Witch really fits well into that same kind of universe.
Right.
And who knows?
Maybe this will be post-Avengers.
I would assume
so. So it'll deal a little bit with the Vision fallout.
And what might be kind of cool is I feel like, because they're announcing, like, that Phase 4 has the TV shows, they didn't announce, when they were talking about Phase 3, it wasn't like Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, that those all fit into Phase 3.
Right.
Whereas these shows, they're saying they fit into Phase 4, and I'm hoping that they take the ideas in WandaVision and put them into, like, the Doctor Strange stuff. It should be really cool.
It'd be weird, but it'd be cool.
But I'm guessing a lot of these... It's exactly what we've been asking for years. Because even with, like, think about the DC movies. When we're like, well, why don't they just cast, you know, the Flash as the TV Flash? Why don't they just cast the Arrow as the TV Arrow? So now they're kind of reverse engineering that, where they're saying, we have these characters that are so great in the movies, we want to make a television show about them, so let's use the cast from the movies and the TV shows and then tie them back to the movies.
I agree.
And while Daredevil and Punisher, they clearly take place in the same universe, they talk about things that are happening in the movies, same with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they just never, like, fully crossed over.
That's another announcement, actually.
Yeah. Maybe get to that at the very end, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Next up is another one of the Disney Plus shows coming out in spring 2021. I know this is something that many people are going to be very excited about, though. The Disney Plus series Loki will be starring Tom Hiddleston, obviously, as Thor's brother Loki, who basically beams himself into different dimensions and goes crazy with the Tesseract.
Is that what it says?
It says... He apparently beamed himself into a different dimension by grabbing the Tesseract during a key moment in Avengers Endgame, spoiler for, like, 3 months ago. It'll debut on the streaming service in spring 2021.
So this is the different dimension Loki.
I think so, yeah.
This isn't Loki from the proper timeline.
I think so. Like,
you think so what?
I think that's what's going to happen, is that it's going to be Loki in different dimensions, like... Yeah, let's see. Well, let's read the quotes from him. Hiddleston said, "Hey, you guys saw Avengers, right? He's still that guy. Just about the last thing that happened to him is he got Hulk smashed. There's a lot of psychological evolution that is yet to happen. It is one of the most exciting creative opportunities I've ever come across. This is new territory, a new world, new challenges. I can't wait to get started."
Nice, that's cool.
Like, I'm thinking... If he beams himself into, like, a different dimension with the Tesseract, one can only hope that he still has a version of the Tesseract and just goes boop, 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 into, like, different places.
It says dimensional? I'm sorry, I didn't...
This literally says...
Sorry, it's early. I needed it to be read again.
Tom Hiddleston is Thor's troublemaking brother who apparently beamed himself into a different dimension by grabbing the Tesseract.
Huh.
So there you go.
That's weird.
Like, maybe he's using it to... I mean, he's the god of mischief. He has the ability to move between different dimensions. Right. I feel like the god of mischief just fucking around with stuff is a great idea for a television show. And it could lead into the next Disney Plus show, which is coming out in the summer of 2021. What if? What if Loki using the Tesseract makes a shit show out of everything and basically nothing got said about it?
And that's a show. That's a Disney Plus.
It is a Disney Plus show. It's Marvel's first animated series that is set to supply different versions of all of those set-in-stone MCU scenes and experiences using the vocal talent of many of the actors from the original films. So it's basically... It just sounds like it's going to be a chance to tell those kind of what-if stories like the comic used to do. Like, what if Galactus, you know, ate Thanos? What you know, what if Thanos, you know, farted instead of snapping? Yeah.
I don't quite think that that's
I don't
what
think
it was.
They're going to tell those. But
what do you think these are? What do you think? Like 10 episodes, 12 episodes? I feel like they're going to be short seasons.
So I feel like the bigger shows like Captain America, Winter Soldier, Loki and stuff like that will probably be like 10 episode prestige television shows.
Right.
Whereas What If sounds like it might be like probably twice as many episodes, half as long shows. I bet they're like 20 to 25, like half an hour long animated shows.
That makes sense.
You know, and that those could be a lot of fun. I feel like that might be kind of the sleeper hit of this entire lineup, much in the same way that Into the Spider-Verse was such a great movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has so much potential. They don't have to say, this is the MCU. They can say, let's play. Let's do whatever we want to do and have fun.
Right.
And that's what made Into the Spider-Verse so great, is taking all those
Book
different...
Book that show.
Taking... Whatever. You
I love
it.
That movie.
Taking all those different kinds of, like, Spider-Man and just playing around.
Right. No,
it's a
genius idea. For sure. For sure.
All right, next to last thing that we got on the docket here. Fall 2021, another Disney Plus show, Hawkeye. Now, I know you're not very excited about that.
Well, so again, I'm going to preface that with I wasn't as excited about it until Endgame. He finally showed a little bit more life in his character.
Right.
And so it's probably my lead, aside from the second thing we talked about. What the fuck did we talk about second? Shang-Chi. We talked about that third or fourth, actually.
That's like fourth.
So it's not... I'm not super excited about that because I don't really know much about it. Or the Winter Soldier and Falcon. That's like, we'll see. You know, I'll watch them, of course. But this was something that I was like, why does Hawkeye deserve a series? He wasn't exciting. He was kind of bland. But then Avengers Endgame came up and you got to see more of Jeremy Renner's actual acting ability. And that is what brought that character to life a little bit more for me. So, I mean, it's not the most exciting thing that I'm going to be looking out for, but I'm still going to watch it.
Right.
I don't know who's Kate Bishop. Do you know who that is? Is that his daughter?
Yes.
So she's going to be taking over the mantle of Hawkeye, it seems like.
Yes. And that, so here's, I know a lot of times fans can get a little like, ooh, I'm reading a ton into this, blah, blah, blah. So you're looking at all the logos. There's all these different things. The Hawkeye logo that they have for this Disney Plus is the exact same logo that they used for Matt Fraction's version of Hawkeye.
Okay.
Which is like the one that came out in 2013. And it's the story of Hawkeye and his daughter, also Hawkeye. And, like, kind of their troubled relationship between father and daughter. But it's also him with all this money from being in the Avengers and fighting, like, street-level thugs that are trying to evict all these people from a building.
Hmm.
So while his daughter's doing superhero shit, he's like, I'm going to buy this entire building, give it to people rent-free, and when the Ukrainian mafia comes to try to fight me, I do some Hawkeye shit. Which could play really well into the story that they were telling for Endgame, where he's like, gone out and basically lost it and become like a vigilante.
Right.
And now he's trying to kind of rebuild his life. I know it's easy to say, oh, that's just Gabe nerding out with like a logo.
No, why?
But to tie those two things, like to say, to put that specific logo says something very specific, I think, to a lot of comic book fans, that hopefully the direction that they're going is Matt Fraction's storyline from the comic books. That's my hope. Like, I don't want to say, you know, in wrestling vernacular, CM Punk to AEW confirmed. but like, that's what it looks like to me. The bathroom door is opening by itself. That was a little freaky.
Whoa.
If a ghost comes out of here, we got to take a very unblurry picture of it and send it to... All right. We're wrapping up this episode.
November
We're getting very 5th, close to the
2021.
End.
2021.
This is the last part of Phase 4 and probably the biggest news to come out of the Hall H panel.
For sure. That or Doctor Strange are the two big things.
So, Thor, Love and Thunder is going to be starring Chris Hemsworth as Thor, obviously. And then Natalie Portman as the first on-screen female Thor. There are probably people shitting their pants about this who didn't bother to read the amazing run of Thor that came out where her character, you know, the character that Natalie Portman plays in the movie, gets cancer and takes on the mantle of Thor. This is going to be directed again by Taika Waititi, who directed Thor Ragnarok, which was absolutely fucking amazing.
Definitely.
And I can only assume that this will also be done in a really, really amazing way.
Right.
His quote specifically is, "If you know that storyline, it's full of emotion. It introduces for the first time female Thor. For us, there's only one person who could play that role. Only one, and she's here." And he introduced Natalie Portman. So that's a big deal. Like, it should be a really, really cool movie. We only have a couple years to wait for it. And honestly, out of all the things that they announced, this is probably one of the things that I'm the most excited about.
So I look at this and I go, like, I love Marvel shit and they're doing amazing. I think Phase 4 will suffer from a little bit of lower star power until it kicks off and we see kind of what it looks like. Because when we got Marvel Phase 2 and 3 announcements, it's like, fucking Captain America and goddamn Iron Man and, you know what I mean, Avengers. And, like, it was fucking, they were, like, giant, massive announcements. And this is kind of a retread of what we've already seen with a little bit of new mixed in. And so I'm not let down by it, but I see it and I go, okay, that's cool. Let's see what that looks like. You know, I'm ready to kind of jump in and see what that'll look like. So I don't think I'm as excited for Phase 4 as I was for 2 or 3. But it's because I don't know what this looks like yet. I don't have any idea, you know. And when you say there's going to be a Captain America movie and it's going to star Chris Hemsworth, I don't need to know anything about that. Like, that sounds really, really cool to
Chris
me.
Evans.
So Chris Evans, yeah. Thor obviously is Chris Hemsworth. So,
yeah.
But those seem like big monumental announcements. And so I'm a little hesitant to go into Phase 4, but I'm excited. That's, you know, that doesn't mean I can't be excited for it. It's just definitely felt a little kind of, this seems like more like nerdy kind of pandering to me, which is fine. I don't, that doesn't mean it's going to be bad, but I'm still excited. It's just a little less excited.
So here's what's, obviously you have your own vision of like what's happening. Here's
sure.
My side of the equation. I'm not a huge superhero fan. Like, I don't read Avengers at all, mm-hmm. like, as a comic book. I've read very little Thor until, like, there's great storylines, even though it, like, delves into, like, that fantasy stuff that I really, really enjoy. What I do see on here is, like, Jack Kirby's Eternals, which is something that gets very little love when it deserves it. I see Kung Fu, like, comic books, like Shang-Chi. I see some of my favorite horror stuff, like Doctor Strange.
Right.
I see one of my favorite, like, takes on a superhero, like, with the logo that they use for Hawkeye. Like, that was one of my favorite superhero books that I've read probably in, like, the last 8 to 10 years.
Right.
So I'm seeing things that, like you said, maybe pander a little bit more to like the hardcore comic book reader. But what I'm seeing is the side of Marvel that I really, really love. And that takes us one step further that I want to talk about before we wrap up, which is the one announcement that they made for Phase 5, which was Mahershala Ali being cast as Blade.
And see, to me, that's a bigger announcement than some of the things that we got here. Because Blade is, which I'm sad that Wesley Snipes didn't get the role, because I think he could still do it. But I don't know anything about Mahershala Ali aside from his Luke Cage shit, and he was great in it. So that I'm excited for.
He won an Oscar for Moonlight. Right. Like, he's a really talented actor.
I'm in. Brad, no, I agree. That's something that I'm excited for.
This is what excites me the most, though. Seeing Shang-Chi, seeing Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, seeing the storyline that they're telling with Thor and Hawkeye and Loki, and like WandaVision in a lot of ways, and the Eternals, what that leads me towards is the storyline that progresses out of that feels like the dark Marvel side, which I'm praying means Phase 5, Ghost Rider, Doctor Strange, like Mephisto, like some of those eternal, like extra dimensional characters that are the side of Marvel that in the 90s I love.
Right.
And that seems to be the direction that it's slowly moving. And one can only hope that that's what they do with it.
I'm in.
Well, if you have any thoughts on Marvel Phase 4 or where you think Marvel Phase 5 is going to go, please check us out. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know all the ways to get there, but if you don't, you can go to www.totlb.com to find out more. And, of course, we would love your support on Patreon at patreon.com/totlb. We are really, really heavily pushing the YouTube channel, tinyurl.com/totlbtube. Please go subscribe and hit the little bell so that you get notifications. We still have lots of content coming out from San Diego Comic-Con, and we are trying...
The screen is full of...
Yeah, we are trying desperately to get more and more content onto our YouTube channel. Thank you so much, guys, for all the interaction that you give us. Everything you say back and forth with us means a ton. And, of course, next episode, you will be listening to our fan interaction, where we will be going live at Juan's aunt's house in sunny Los Angeles, California.
I love it.
And we will talk to you guys later this week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.